I think there's a lot of belief in the leadership of the team. You know, I think there's an important part of leadership role and being as even keel as possible and always believing you got a chance. But it takes moments like this. You know, back in 2010, we were 9-6 playing Chicago last game of the year, and we eked out a close one in the fourth quarter, 10-3, and it gave us a little bit of belief. And then we went on a run where we were underdogs, I believe, the entire playoffs. We're underdogs at home tonight against our division rival. I think it's going to give us some belief. Now we're playing, I believe, the Texans. Is that right? They're coming off 9 in a row, I think. So who knows if they'll make us an underdog again at home. But the belief level in the locker room after a win like this is exponentially greater, which is what you want to have going into next week. And then, obviously, we had DK back.
I don't know what's happened here, Limits. I'm starting to believe, too, again. And I'll tell you this much. Bob's not here. He's already here knew that. He's here in spirit, and he's here in mannequin form or cardboard cutout form, whichever you prefer. He's at the Tomlin News Conference. He has his duties there. In fact, he introduces the coach. Do we underestimate just how important Bob is overall, Limits?
Probably, yeah.
In this town? He introduces the Steelers coach.
He does a
at
show
the Tuesday
with the
press conference
coach.
And then does a show with the Steelers coach afterward, or yep, maybe before. I don't know when they tape it. Do you?
He already had, yeah, I think it is today. And he already had the phone number of the priest that blesses the field, typically.
Right. And we had Father Max ready to go yesterday.
We
Something
so.
Strange happened.
And then Bob was ghosted, apparently.
And then even Bob was ghosted. Yes. I think the Steelers got involved. I think that's what happened. They don't want any fun things for us, do they?
It's a possibility.
It's a possibility.
I'm not rolling anything out.
That's all right. We'll survive.
I'm also not accusing anyone of anything, but I'm not rolling anything out.
We'll survive here. And I'm starting to swill the Kool-Aid, Limits. I'm not sipping it. I'm swilling it. As far as I'm concerned, this is a team on a 5-game winning streak. Do you know why? Because with DK Metcalf, they beat the Browns. Do we agree on that?
Yes.
Right. So the team they're actually putting on the field Monday night is going to be a pretty darn good football team that's getting better. And like the man you just heard, is starting to believe. And sometimes all it takes is a win like that, where it could have been a loss. But how many times in history have we seen that? In big regular season games, in playoff game, whatever.
Frequently.
Every win could be a loss practically when you get to this level.
Think about how...
You want me to go through some Penguin games? You want me to go back to the year they won the Cup? The first year with Dan Bylsma? They're down 2-0 in a series to the Capitals, and the next game goes to overtime, and now I can't remember if they tied it or won it on a deflection. On a deflection. Limits, they lose that game, they lose that series.
Think about Seattle and the Rams.
That's a field goal. That's a field goal that's going to go outside the post but goes in the post. And sometimes that's all you need. And here's the other important thing. What were you going to say?
Seattle and the Rams this year.
Seattle
went for two.
Seattle went for two, and they didn't get it.
If they wouldn't have gotten it,
they might not be in the driver's seat for the number one seed.
That's right.
You're exactly right.
They'd be the
you
five
are
seed
exactly
going on the
right.
road to Carolina.
This stuff happens. You're here. That's all that matters. You're playing at home against a franchise that has never won a road playoff game. They're 0-6. But here's the real point. I like this Steelers team a lot better than I did. I like the roster. I like some of the things I'm seeing. I like seeing clips of Zach Frazier pushing Roquan Smith all over the field. Have you seen that clip?
I haven't. He has played very well.
I like the clip of Derek Harmon pushing Penei Sewell all over the field, throwing him down to the ground. Have you seen those clips? The Steelers are good up front on both sides of the ball. They have a good offensive line. They have two good running backs. They have DK Metcalf back, and they have TJ Watt back. You could argue if you walked into other teams' meeting rooms and sat down with their coordinators and their head coaches and their players, the guy they fear most on this offense could be DK Metcalf, and the guy they fear most on this defense could be TJ Watt. So arguably, the two most feared players on the team weren't there for the Cleveland game. Am I right about that, Limits?
You are correct.
And so that this team that they're putting on the field Monday night, as far as I'm concerned, is on an unbelievable roll heading into the playoffs. At worst, they've won 4 or 5, but really the team that we'll see Monday night, I think, would be on a 5-game winning streak. I'm pretty convinced they would be if only Metcalf were there. And have you seen Metcalf's playoff numbers that our dear friend Adam Crowley was talking about?
Lennox? No.
Have you seen his playoff numbers?
Please fill me in.
I'll fill you in. He's played 4 playoff games. He has 26 catches for 451 yards and 5 touchdowns. And you don't think he's going to be stoked to play that game Monday night after letting his teammates down? And I know there are people who don't like DK Metcalf anymore and things like that. We were ready to canonize the guy in Baltimore after he volunteered as a gunner for the punt team and had 148 yards receiving. Whatever you think of what happened, whatever you think of him right now, he's a really good player who was trending up and now is rested and now is extra motivated. And this Steeler defense, which never goes into a postseason healthy, seems pretty healthy to me. T.J. Watt, the upside, if there is an upside to getting your lung punctured, is that his body, the rest of his body, got time off late in the season. And now all of a sudden, he's going to be a week stronger and a week better going into this game. Alex Highsmith, who's injured more often than Bo Bennett, is healthy. He's a monster when healthy. Derek Harmon is throwing people around. They have depth with Herbig as far as the pass rush goes. Cam Hayward's playing maybe the best football of his career. My God, have you seen the breakdowns of him the other day? Oh, limitless wonder.
He played his ass off, and he probably played the best game he has in the last 3-4 years.
So
he was an all-pro last year.
You know, the position of concern for me right now might be safety, might be secondary. But otherwise, I really like this Steelers team at the moment. I do. Maybe I'm crazy. I think they're going to make a bit of a run here. I think they're going to beat Houston. You got a team coming in here who, like I said, a franchise that has never won a road playoff game and is walking in to a cold weather playoff environment without a run game. And with hardly what would qualify as, you know, an electrifying pass game. Stroud to Collins is a good combination. They've got some weapons, but nobody's really that fearful of Houston's offense. They're not. You may have seen the Chargers game. Stroud hit a couple long plays. He also threw 2 terrible picks. And they really don't have a run game, and nobody fears their offensive line. I think the Steelers are going to line up and smash this team defensively, and I think do enough offensively to win. And that gets us back to the main topic. The main reason I feel good about the Steelers heading into the playoffs, and that's the quarterback. And this quarterback right now is on a roll. Again, the Cleveland game is sort of an outlier right now. I don't know what the hell happened that day. Something did, but not having Metcalf certainly affected the proceedings. We can all agree on that, do we?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it should be counted as a burn the tape type of game.
Like, it was horrible. He was horrible. But Metcalf wasn't there. It happened, but Metcalf wasn't there.
Right, and you get him back and it changes a lot in your offense.
I think so.
Plus they rediscovered...
I think it changes a lot.
They rediscovered Jaylen Warren. He was like a non-factor against Cleveland.
Yep.
Same thing with Gainwell. They didn't utilize him.
They
properly.
Have 2 good running backs. They've rediscovered Pat Freiermuth. They have Metcalf back. They're gonna have some horrible series against Houston because everybody does, because that's a great defense. But what I don't think is going to happen is that you're going to see them turn the ball over. I don't think Rodgers is going to be taking tons of sacks so long as the game is close. I think it's exactly the type of game that Mike Tomlin loves to play. It's going to be, I think, a low-scoring, whoever makes the turnover loses type of game. And I really like the position that the Steelers are in right now. Do you at 412-928-9370. 928-9370. Here's the thing with Rodgers, too, is that I think he has a receiving core that he's comfortable with now. And there's a lot to be said for that. Like, I credit him more than anybody else for the fact that there's more competence there and that there's no Roman Wilson there. Can't depend on that guy. So what? Was it Omar that went out and got MVS and Thielen? Was it Mike? Or was it mostly Aaron? Because I feel like it was mostly Aaron. And I'm okay with it. And I'm desperately searching for a number that I looked up the other day. And I'm trying to do it on live radio. And I think I am going to do it. It was something like the Steeler receivers the other night had more yards after the catch than a lot of teams this season. And now I can't find it. And now I'm angry. But that's okay. The bottom line is the Steelers receivers are a group that the quarterback feels comfortable with. That if option A and B and C aren't open, he knows where an Adam Thielen or even a Scotty Miller or an MVS might be. That was a hell of a catch MVS made the other day. I thought the one where he reached back behind him and pulled it in on the bobble. You know, I'm not saying that these guys are world beaters, but they're players that the quarterback feels comfortable with. Yes, limits.
I think I have the number you're looking for.
Please.
66% of the Steelers' passing yards this season have come after the catch, the highest in the NFL. Was that the number you were looking for?
No, but the number the other day was pretty good, too, with a cast of characters that you wouldn't think would put up numbers like that, because a lot of the number you just said has to do with DK Metcalf. Here's the other story related to Rodgers that probably I haven't talked about enough, and that's the offensive line. See, I still believe that games are won along the line of scrimmage on both sides, and I think the Steelers have really beefed up and gotten better on both sides, and in the case of Cam, stayed healthy, right? And I think Keanu Benton has come along. Another clip that's made its way around the internet is Keanu Benton chasing down Derrick Henry on what looked to be a possible touchdown, just a ridiculous play for a nose tackle to make. Like, you look at the Ravens' interior defenders, most of them. Remember Rodgers said there were a couple slow guys chasing me on that touchdown in Baltimore? Those guys can't move 5 yards. Benton and Harmon are like Olympic sprinters, and they're showing the effort that Cam has modeled for them and getting down the field and making plays. These guys are terrors on both sides of the ball up front. They really are, and that gives you a chance to win. But you got to have the quarterback. And Aaron Rodgers is beating teams with his brain and his arm. And my God, he even ran for 20 yards the other day. Now, there was another run where it took him longer to get from here to the sidelines than it does Harry Callis to get from here to the bathroom. Doesn't it, Limits, even in an emergency? And Aaron will admit that. That's the one part of his game that has severely declined, although it's not dead. I mean, anybody who can take off on a 20-yard scramble, you know, it's not Johnny Unitas on the Chargers. He can still move a little bit, enough anyway. But that's the one part of the great prime Aaron Rodgers that has declined is the mobility. But he still has the arm and the brain, and that's a lethal combination. Chris Collinsworth said the other day, maybe he's not drawing this up in a dirt, but a lot of this is coming out of Aaron Rodgers' brain, this offense right now. And we've seen and heard blatant examples of it. The touchdown to Kenny Gainwell, the great play by Gainwell, really, at the end of the half in Detroit. You heard on NFL Films, Rodgers saying at the last second, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, you know, split out and go deep. That's what we did in the backyard, Limits. That's what we did on Bob Newsall Street in Buffalo and slip slidey football in the snow. Bob Newsall would tell me right before the snap, we'd have little signals down and out. The stop and go is our favorite route, like Calvin Austin the other day. The little stop and go route. If you time it right, you go about 5 steps, you come back for the ball right as the quarterback is pump faking, and then you go deep. If you ever find yourself in a slip-slidey football game, that'll work every time.
But I feel the point like I'd be hurt like on multiple different occasions.
Yeah, we would have come in. We would have targeted
I'm
you,
very
I think,
fragile.
In those games.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. He's doing this regularly. He also said the early shot down the field to Metcalf in Baltimore was off script. Clearly, he's very comfortable at this point of his career choreographing the offense for himself, and that's great. It's not all it is, but he's doing it enough, and he's doing it effectively. And here's another key. And I saw a great interview with Tom Brady a while ago that I remember talking about right when it happened. And these are plays that you'll never hear about, you'll never read about. Nobody's going to write about the play of the game as the quarterback getting out of a horrible play at the line of scrimmage, maybe a catastrophic play, and getting a yard or two. Or getting a nothing play, an incompletion. How about checking out of a catastrophic play into an incompletion? Nobody's sitting up in the press box saying, that was the play of the game. But you know what it might have been? And it takes a really sharp quarterback to be able to do things like that. And I saw somebody, I don't remember who, breaking this down online the other day. Is Rodgers getting them out of bad plays? He can do that. And getting them into good plays, maybe on the same occasion, maybe on different occasions. He beats you with his brain. But you saw the throw to Freiermuth, too, the other day. And he threw one of those in Cleveland late in the game, too. And it reminded me of his Super Bowl throw. You remember, it's a famous throw, really. I think it was 3rd and 9, if I'm not mistaken. On a field goal drive for the Packers late in that game. Maybe a touchdown drive. But either way, the game was kind of hanging in the balance on a 3rd and 9, which is where the Steelers want you. And Aaron Rodgers made one of the great throws in Super Bowl history, right past Ike Taylor's outstretched hands. He's made two throws the past 2 weeks to Freiermuth that made that image come up in my mind. Just right, I mean, you saw the one the other day. Limits right down the seam, right over the guy's head, right into Freiermuth's hands in stride.
Yeah, great throw.
Almost a touchdown.
Right over the middle. Great throw. Just like the throw to Thielen. The throw to Thielen was on a dot.
You can't, a lot of guys can't make that, most guys don't make that throw in the NFL. He still can. He still can. So that is a dangerous combination all the way around right now with Aaron Rodgers. And again, I don't think they're going to light up the Texans. I don't think anybody's going to light up the Texans. But what he's going to do in the end is do enough to win with his brain and his arm and the weapons around him and a rapidly, rapidly improving offensive line. I think the Steelers are a great bet in this game as a 3.5-point home dog. I really do. And I think they're going to smash up that Texans offense. Like, smash them up. I think they're primed for that. You look at their performances lately, they won't be dealing with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson was phenomenal in the fourth quarter the other day. And listen, credit the Ravens. They took a chance on a 4th and 3 early in the game, and the Steelers took the chance that it was going to be a short throw or a scramble or something like that. They didn't dream that Lamar would go deep on that 4th and 3 earlier in the game. Sometimes the other guys make plays. Sometimes a 2-time MVP who's a spectacular football player makes a play. That's what he did early in that game. And then in the fourth quarter, yeah, it was a combination of Steelers screw-ups and Lamar being great. I mean, they had him. Benton and Highsmith had him. He was dead. I don't know how he escaped, but not only did he escape, he directed Zay Flowers down the field and made another great throw. It was pretty open, but still, it's a high-pressure throw when you've just escaped a catastrophic situation and made the play. And the other thing that happened is Kyle Duggar is a worrisome point right now. Maybe we're starting to see why the Patriots didn't want him anymore. He's been troublesome. Chuck Clark might be the better option right now, and Ramsey had a tough game. That area concerns me. It does. Who's playing catch with a football outside right now, Limits? Can you go to the window and look? There's somebody in a Steeler helmet in our parking lot running patterns and seemingly putting himself in danger. Who is that?
I don't know, but Ben Tenuta's videoing it. He ran into the studio like 10 minutes ago to take a helmet from our studio.
Is it Malzi? Whoever it is has good form. Is that a former college quarterback? Is that Bostic out
there? If I had to guess, it's probably Kale. Probably Kale Burger.
All right.
Because his show just ended.
Very odd sight to see out there. Okay. I'm bullish on the Steelers right now for all the reasons I just mentioned, mostly the quarterback who has his top weapon back. And it's a highly motivated, playoff-proven weapon in DK Metcalf. I think they're going to beat the Texans. And I think they might play at home in round two. Although I was looking at the Jacksonville situation limits where they play the Bills. And anytime they get to midfield, that dude can kick a field goal.
Cam Whittle.
Little Stuart Little, yeah.
He had a 67-yarder last week. He had a 68-yarder earlier this year, and he hit that 70-yarder in the preseason against the Steelers.
Do you have Bob's call of that? Can you look that up, please, when Bob said Little is big? One of the great calls in pro sports history. Right up there with Al Michaels at Miracle on Ice. Who is Stuart Little? Oh, that was a movie, remember, about a little bunny rabbit? Do you remember that, Lance?
I don't think he was a bunny rabbit. I thought he was a mouse.
Oh, yeah, he is a mouse. Yeah, he looks like a rabbit from this vantage point. So the Bills could be in trouble in Jacksonville, not just because of the kicker, because the Jags are pretty good. But if I'm a betting man right now, Limits, are you ready for this? You ready for this?
Please.
I think the Bills are coming here in round two because I also think the Chargers are going to win. How do you like them apples?
Wow.
Yeah.
And there is a possibility then in that situation that if the Chargers would beat Denver and the Steelers would beat the Bills, that the AFC Championship game would be right here in Pittsburgh.
And I don't think anything that happens in the AFC playoffs should surprise
that
anybody.
That would surprise me.
Why? What would be
that
the...
they'd host the AFC Championship game against the 7th seed?
I know, but to get there, none of the events leading up to there, to me, would be really surprising at all. Like, the Bills are favored in Jacksonville, correct? Yeah, by 1.5
Yeah, I'll double check.
I know they are. The Chargers going into New England and winning? I mean, the Chargers
very
are
doable.
A pretty good football team.
Yeah.
And then the next week, you'd have to have the Steelers win at home against the Bills and the Broncos lose to the Chargers. They've already lost to the Chargers.
It's a divisional game.
And they've already lost to the Chargers limits.
Buffalo's favored by 1.5 You're right.
Anybody who says that they would be surprised by anything in the AFC this year just isn't watching or wants to create a topic. Because there's nothing surprising that could happen with this particular field. It's a unique field of teams that I haven't seen, you know, this kind of sort of vibe or tenor to the teams. I don't remember when.
Because there's no proven quarterback.
Mostly because the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl almost every year.
Like, Josh Allen is the one guy that is the most experienced and the most talented and the most accomplished of this field, but everybody has questions about his defense. He has no wide receivers.
And his weapons, yeah.
There's nothing there. Drake May's young.
They're going to have a hell of a time getting out of Jacksonville. I will admit that, but I think that Josh Allen is going to get them out of there somehow, some way.
Yeah, Chargers have no tackles. What are you getting from Jacksonville? I mean, they've beaten a ton of really good teams this year, including Denver, but what are you getting from the Jags?
412-928-9370. 928-9370. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia. Peters Township, visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. What is it, if you don't agree with my line of thinking, that I think the Steelers are, I do think they're going to win on Monday night. I really do. And then I think they'll have a pretty good chance to win the next round wherever they are. I'm not quite ready to say Super Bowl again yet. But for people who like scoff at that or laugh at it, which team do you have going to the Super Bowl? Because I might scoff or laugh at that. Like, which AFC team do you trust to go to the Super Bowl this year? You trust Denver? I've been on Denver probably more than anybody this year. I picked them to win that division. And I picked Bo Nix as the MVP before the season, just to go off the board a little bit. But when you talk about Denver, almost every game they've played has gone down to the wire. They just got hammered at home by Jacksonville. And Bo Nix, for as much as I like him, has never won a playoff game. right? He went into Buffalo and they got railroaded last year in the playoffs. So you love Denver? You can't. Nobody out there loves Denver like they're unbeatable or something. The Patriots? Man, they got injuries right now, up and down. I love their quarterback. Who wouldn't? I absolutely love Drake May. But they started to look less formidable, I thought, late in the season. And they, like I said, they're banged up right now. Now, they won most of their games down the stretch, but if you're watching, they blew a 21-point lead against Buffalo. The Ravens would have beaten them if John Harbaugh didn't bench Derrick Henry late in the game. They were behind by 10 points in the fourth quarter there, and then they played the Jets in Miami. Who cares? They also barely beat the Bengals late in the season. They're a good team, don't get me wrong. So's Denver. But you're that confident in the Patriots? They're just going to run to the Super Bowl? Man, I don't know about that. Jacksonville? Who could possibly look at Jacksonville and say, nobody's touching them? They are absolutely going. And then the rest of the field, you know, is the Steelers, who have been wildly inconsistent. The Chargers, who don't have any offensive tackles and who have faltered at times. And the Bills, who are deeply flawed. And I've seen every snap of every game this season, and I've told you about that. They're a deeply flawed football team with a superstar quarterback and a great running back. The smart money for some people is on the Bills, not me. Josh Allen's never won a road playoff game either. They're going to have to win three to get to the Super Bowl. So if you're going to laugh and say, well, Starkey's talking about the Super Bowl with the Steelers again, give me your pick. Give me a defensive line you like better than the Steelers right now, or a defensive front if you want to include, edge rushers, line, everybody. Who has a better front seven in the AFC than the Steelers? I'll wait on that one. Denver's pretty good, but I just saw Trevor Lawrence light them up like a pinball machine in Denver. They're comparable, certainly. I don't know if there's a team in the AFC with a better front seven on defense than the Steelers. Are there many offensive lines playing better? Running back tandems? Quarterback? You think I'm talking crazy? I think I'm talking sense. When I say they can absolutely compete with, and all I'm saying is they can absolutely compete with anybody, especially up front where it matters most, and that their quarterback's on a heater, and that the two players on their whole roster that strike more fear into anybody, maybe other than Rodgers at the moment, T.J. Watt and D.K. Metcalf are back. Limits? What do you think of my take right now? I'm waiting for people. I'm waiting for feedback.
Yeah, people are starting to call in. And, you know, I want to hesitate just a little bit on it. Although I agree with your overall point where I do think that they can compete with every team in this AFC, and they have a chance to beat every team in this AFC as long as things go very well for them. I still am concerned about the weaponry that Aaron Rodgers does have, because we saw MVS in Cleveland. He's not a reliable guy. Adam Thielen is 35. Getting DK Metcalf back,
are those guys that relevant right now?
Don't you think they're going to need to be?
I don't know, because he's got two running backs he can throw to. And they can even use those guys at the same time, I might add. Freiermuth has reemerged.
Yeah.
Calvin Austin's reemerged, and Metcalf's back. So where is Adam Thielen really going to be needed?
So I'm not trying to pour cold water on the argument.
No.
But I do wonder, because the Ravens had no pass rush. Like, it was a pretty abysmal.
Yes.
Last week. And we saw how much Myles Garrett and that pass rush of Cleveland affected the Steelers up front.
Yeah.
And kind of changed the way that they called offense. So going up against Houston, with Anderson rushing, with the success that Hunter has had this year, 15 and a half sacks?
No doubt.
That is a little bit of concern for me, where you're going to need weapons to make big plays, and I still have my doubts about the MVSs of the world. I like Adam Thielen, but this isn't
Well, how
Pro
much
Bowl
is MVS going to be featured in a game where DK is back? Why are you worried about MVS in this game?
Because don't you think the first thing that DeMeco Ryans is going to try to do is to take DK Metcalf out of the game?
Ben, can you grab that mic for a sec? Who were you outside playing football with in the parking lot?
Kel Berger and Amanda Gorecki.
Why?
Well, we did a video of Kel Berger dressed up like almost like Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah?
Because he has the mustache and everything, so he's trying his best, you know, imitation of Aaron Rodgers.
Could he throw the ball at all, old Kel Berger?
He did. We're going to be posting it on Y108 here shortly.
All right.
Wow.
We'll take a look for that. Thank you, Ben.
Yep.
I was just curious. All right, Limits.
What a great Rose Bowl sweatshirt that Ben had.
Yeah. He has a good sweatshirt game usually, doesn't he?
Did you see that there were some people that were trying to, you know, throw cold water on the Rose Bowl this past week, too?
No, why
that
are they
irritated
saying that?
Me.
The Rose Bowl is the greatest venue in all of sports.
I 1,000% agree. I saw somebody on Twitter that was saying, oh, well, people just like to say about the Rose Bowl, but the stadium is old and parking is terrible and there's no tailgating.
Who cares?
That sounds
want,
like somebody
we
that's
want
never been
stadiums
to the Rose Bowl
before. And arenas with character. Madison Square
yes.
Garden is still my favorite arena
that's,
in all of sports.
That is probably my favorite venue that I've ever seen and my favorite game that I've ever gone to in my entire life was a Rose Bowl game.
Well, what you say about the Texans is true. I'm not minimizing. They have a great defense. Those guys wreck people. I actually think this Steeler offense is as well positioned as any to deal with that in the AFC. I honestly do. It's a dink and dunk, get rid of the ball quickly offense, which at times can be maddening, but you're stressing a defense when you're throwing those little passes to Gainwell and Warren. And now Freiermuth is back for the middle of the field. And now DK is back as a major weapon. Calvin Austin can get down the field a little bit. He made huge plays in both the Baltimore games. I'm not saying it's the greatest show on turf. I'm saying it's an offense that is designed at this particular moment. The way it's designed could be somewhat effective or effective enough against a great defense like Houston's. And it begins, by the way, up front, where I think they're playing really well. I think that's inarguable, isn't it? 412-928-9370. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me what really, really worries you about this team. And then once you do that, we can talk for a little bit. And then I'm going to ask you, okay, give me the team in the AFC that you really trust and tell me why. Here's the other thing about Rodgers right now. He's not turning the ball over at all, certainly not via interception. There's been a couple fumbles in there over the past month. Limits, tell me when his last interception was.
November 9th against the Chargers.
You were back in college on November 9th. That's a long time.
Seven games.
That's another reason why I think he will do this, and it's mostly up to him, that they'll just take a bad series when they have one. Throw a ball out of bounds, take a sack, whatever. A punt is not a bad thing in this game. And I think that this quarterback and this offense as currently constructed is going to be effective enough against a great, and I'll say great, Texans defense. I will admit that. 412-928-9370, the working premise here this morning. And you can listen to the Pomp and Joe show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. The working premise is that the Steelers are going to beat the Texans and have a chance to go on a run. I mean, if you beat in football, if you win one game, you're officially on a run. If you win two, you definitely are. If you get to the divisional round, and you're especially if you're playing at home, this could get very interesting. There's something happening over there. I felt it a couple weeks ago. Cleveland threw me for a loop, threw everybody for a loop. I know that. But with DK Metcalf, they win that game. With DK Metcalf and Watt, they certainly win the game. To me, the team they're putting on the field Monday night, for all intents and purposes, is on a 5-game winning streak. I can't explain Cleveland, other than maybe Metcalf wasn't there and it was just a disaster. But there's something happening. 412-928-9370, and it starts with the quarterback. Limits, who do we got?
All right, Joe, let's start it off with our guy Greg in Youngstown to chime in.
Greg, what's up?
Hey, Joe. Now, City Limits could back me on this. What? I called you guys last week of June before the season.
Yeah.
I gave my predictions, and I said the Steelers were going to win the division and play Denver in the championship game, and I got laughed off the air that day. So if I'm right, I'm the Nostradamus of the fan, because everybody laughed at me for that prediction.
You deserve your flowers. There's no doubt about that, but it hasn't happened yet either.
No,
I mean, the other
I laughed
thing,
at Craig.
The other thing that could happen here is they could get hammered in right away, and then we get back to this question of, is it a successful season or not? You still there, Greg?
Yeah.
So has it already been a successful season? Do they need to come close to winning a playoff game for once, or do they need to win at least one or do more to make it a successful season for Greg in Youngstown?
When they got to win Monday night to be successful. After that, we'll see, but at least if they win up Monday night, I'll take it. But I mean, we're just as good as any of these other teams. I mean, I mean the whole, you know, amazes me. We'll put down our team. Oh, they're not good enough. We don't have enough players. Just match us up against anybody. Maybe not the quarterback now, but we get ripped on all the time. And I think we can hold up with anybody when everybody's healthy. I think we go far. Actually, if we get the right breaks, we need the right breaks in any game. But we could stand up to anybody this year in the playoffs.
I agree right now. Certainly in the AFC. Thank you, Greg. Now, there was a topic yesterday on the PM show about Cam Hayward saying we're playing with house money right now. I mean, that to me implies that we've already done way more than expected and anything that happens now is okay. I don't agree with that. I've put a lot of thought into that idea over the past day or so. And while I'm tempted to say, because of the nature of that win the other night and who it was against, it was the kind of win that felt like a playoff game. And not only that, it was the kind of game where you'll remember where you were 30 years from now. It still wasn't a playoff game. And honestly, the way the AFC North went this season, the least the Steelers could do is win it. It would have been pretty disastrous and qualify as a collapse if they don't win the AFC North, right? I mean, they were 4-1 at one point, and the Ravens were 1-5. Now throw on to that the fact that all they had to do was beat Cleveland, and they avoided all that the other night. And instead, they're there playing for their lives. So let's not paint this, even though in the preseason, yes, nobody thought the Steelers would win the division. A month and a half in, a lot of people thought they would win the division. Vegas still didn't believe so, but if you're 4-1 and the other guys are 1-5, you should win that division. If all you have to do is beat Cleveland, which just fired their coach, you should win that division. So in the end, when I consider this question, what constitutes a successful season, the way things played out in the broken AFC North, really the least you could have done is win it. And now the real games start, and you better win one to make it a successful season. If it's a great game against Houston and goes to overtime and they lose, I won't be of a mind that I was last year after the Baltimore embarrassment, but it still won't be a success. 928-9370 Wonder Twin.
Here is Gary to chime in.
Hey, Gary.
Thanks, Limits. Joe,
mm-hmm.
A fellow Buffalonian, been down here 40 years, but I want to give my granddaughter props. You know St. Mary's in Lancaster? St.
What?
Mary's Academy?
Yeah.
Yeah, she won state champ soccer, female soccer there, freshman.
Nice, man. So, congrats to her.
Yep. And I also want to concur with your swimming naked in Buffalo. That's an affirmative.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it.
That's what they had us do, Limits, when we were in junior high school.
It's
unbelievable
that
it happened all these years later, but it happened.
It wasn't co-ed, but we still had to swim.
Yeah, that happened in places. People in Pittsburgh have told me that it happened here.
How many violations would that create these days?
Too many to count.
How many violations do we create in our car with our kids these days? I mean, come on.
In what?
How many violations do we commit with our kids in cars?
Exactly. Do you have anything Steeler related, sir?
Yes, I do. Yes,
what's
I
up?
Do. My concern is, I love what you've been talking about with Aaron and everything and the positive movement. But what concerns me is the speed that they line up with, because Aaron's noted for, you know, getting a free five down offside penalty. They need to line up quicker, and he should have some kind of a cue for them to get to the line.
He does, and they've done it multiple times.
I know, but they're still lagging around, and he's waving his arm like he's anxious. The second thing is this communication with Smith. This is terrible with the phone, with the headsets, you know? They got to get that resolved.
Did we ever get to the bottom of that limits, by the way? I mean,
I don't know what happened with that. I mean,
it seems to me it was faulty equipment.
Yes,
no?
Roger said that too, and they gave him a backup helmet. And even the backup helmet did not work. Eventually, they got everything.
So let me ask you a question, because I've never gotten to the bottom of this, and I'd love for Tomlin to be asked about this today, just so we know. Is it on the team when the equipment breaks down? Like, if in baseball, for example, when the earpiece between the pitcher and catcher becomes faulty or doesn't work, they basically give you a break and stop the game, and somebody brings in a new piece of equipment.
Yeah, it's like an MLB-wide type of thing.
Why doesn't that happen in football?
I wondered the same thing. Like, why was the game not stopped to be able to get that corrected? It's a huge advantage for the defense to be able to have that type of communication and the offense not be able
I'll
to
say,
have it.
I mean, I guess a team in a squirrely moment could use that as an excuse at any time. Like, you could say, oh, I can't hear. Here, look at my helmet. Or you could break it yourself or something. I don't know.
Potentially.
I don't know, but that's an interesting question. The other thing that happened since the game the other day.
Could I touch on one more thing with that? I feel like, because don't the headsets go off after like 15 seconds? With 15 seconds left on the play clock, that's an NFL thing. That's not a Steelers turning them off. That's a league-wide rule.
Of course,
where
yes.
The headsets go off. So that's what makes me think, just going off the basis of that, that it would be an NFL thing, that the NFL would handle the communications with how those headsets work. Does that make sense?
I get. What does when they turn off have to do with whether or not they're faulty or broken?
Well, I'm just trying to create a parallel as to why the NFL might be the ones that have like more of an authority and control overworking that compared to
I don't
the
know. I'd like to see Tomlin asked about that today. If the microphone or the headphone in your helmet, you know, got smashed on a play and broke in half, I guess it's up to you to hurry up and get it fixed. Clearly, that's the case.
Well, and they gave him another helmet and it didn't work. So it clearly wasn't the helmet, like a hit that Rodgers took that damaged it.
It was the communication lines?
It was the communication
line. The internet was out?
Yeah, because when he put the second headset in,
the Wi-Fi was
down. And it didn't.
Rodgers should have had a personal hotspot then.
I think Ray Lewis was there jamming the signal to the headset.
That was just a strange situation. The other thing that happened the other day that we need to just acknowledge is that the Boswell missed extra point is now being ruled as a blocked kick. Did you see that, a limitless wonder?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Man, I don't have that much of a problem with it.
With what?
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention. I looked at a text that Cavalli sent me. I'll just be upfront.
That was a pretty good cover up there.
Yeah.
You'd think after that you wouldn't go back and read the Cavalli text, yet your eyes just went back to your phone again. Is he in some sort of emergency?
No,
is he okay?
No, he's okay. Everything's fine. Could you please rephrase?
Can we focus on the radio show?
Please.
That would be good.
Thank you.
So the missed extra point that almost cost them their season
is
now being ruled a blocked kick. Did you see that?
No, I did not.
Yes, it is. That's a fact.
And I watched it like 10 times. It didn't look like it was blocked.
Well, watch it again, Limits. Because I've watched it too, and it's very hard to tell.
Yeah.
But number 39, I think it is, for the Ravens, reacts in such a way. Now, he may have just been happy that it happened, but he reacts in such a way that somebody would if they blocked the kick.
What, get a fingernail on it?
I don't know. Why are you doubting this so much all of a sudden? I'm just telling you what happened. Why would the NFL rule? Why is the official stat book now say it was a blocked kick if it wasn't?
Maybe because it was just such a strange kick where it looked like it was going right down the middle.
So they say, what the hell, we'll call it a block?
You know that
they must be seeing something, Limits.
You know that meme where there's a car that's trying to get off the exit and they just so quickly veer off into the right lane to be able to take it, where they're like drifting into the lane? That's what the field goal was like for Boswell, or that extra point. That ball just continued to drift and drift halfway through after it looked like it was going right down the middle.
I know it
so
did.
Maybe it was blocked.
I know it did. And that's why they're saying, or they must be have access to some piece of video where they're ruling that a blocked kick. So that's all I can tell you.
So if that's the case, why doesn't the NFL go back and rule Myles Garrett's sack a half a sack because he touched the
they
he
would
touched
if they
Joe
thought
Burrow
it,
and somebody
would
else
if,
did as well.
They would if they thought it was that was the case. They would do that. They comb through plays and make rulings. That's part of what they do.
Could you imagine if they decided to just go back
and
that'd
said, be great.
Or like the game a couple weeks ago, the game before the Steelers one where he had that half a sack, which probably should not have even been ruled a half a sack at all. And that was taken back from him. It's actually, hey, it's actually 22 and a half. You just tied the record.
I would love that.
Do you see they carried him off the field like he was Rudy?
I mean, first of all, Joe Burrow took a dive on that play.
He did.
So here's all you need to know. If that was a, let's say, the conference championship or a playoff game on the line, do you think he does that same maneuver? You think
no.
he just goes down like that?
No, he probably just throws the ball at somebody's feet.
Or he doesn't just give himself up.
Right.
And weren't they still trying? Didn't they lose the football game?
Yes, they did.
So weren't they still trying to win? How much time was left?
You'd think so. I don't think Burrow and Chase
How much time
and all them
was left in the game limits?
There was 5.5 minutes left.
There you go. Something's very fishy about that. I'm with Kyle Brandt on that one. Now look up Boswell blocked extra point and see what you see. Because now I'm obsessed with this, especially since you've questioned it. Here's the story. Steelers Depot. Matthew Marzi, I believe, is his name. Chris Boswell's critical missed extra point, now credited as a block by the Ravens. That's the story. And as Alex Kozora of Steelers Depot says, whoever number 39 is, this is me talking now, and this is now back to Kozora, sure looks like he's celebrating like he blocked it. More than everyone else, happy about the miss. So do you see that limits?
Yeah, I'm looking at the video right now.
Look at it right now. I still can't believe that that kick went the way it did. I think the guy blocked it. He got up and went crazy and was raising his hand like, I got it, I got it. I think it was a blocked kick. It was too strange of a play not to be blocked. That's what I, and obviously somebody saw something.
I just can't tell. I don't know how the NFL could rule that. Maybe just because of the flight that the ball took. Thinking that it had
well, they
to be
must,
blocked.
I mean, they have access to things we don't limits.
Right.
They can look at it close up, slow motion.
They can look at it in 8K for all we know.
What's that?
You know how there's 4K TVs? It's like really clear picture.
No.
There's also 8K.
Really?
Yeah, I have no way of being able to access that.
Maybe they looked at it in 12K on slow motion. Super slow motion on 12K.
I think 16K exists, yep.
I think it will pretty soon. But the kick was so weird. That I'm buying this. You buying it or no?
No, I'm not buying it.
Oh, my God.
Because I don't trust my eye. My eyes are telling me that he didn't block it.
They have a microscopic replay on here. You can't tell anything. You think this is the one they're looking at?
It's like when I played deck hockey and I tried to credit myself for a goal on a deflection when I was like 8 years old when I maybe like just barely tipped the puck in front of the net. Playing at the old South Park deck hockey rink.
Did you ever play against Crowley in deck hockey?
No, Crowley's like 10 years older than me.
You've never played anybody older than you in deck hockey? What does that have to do with anything?
What 8 years old player in deck hockey is playing somebody 18?
I didn't say when you were 8 limits. I didn't think when you were 3 and Crowley was 13 you were playing deck hockey against each other.
No.
But do you still play? That was why it was a friendly inquisition.
Crowley and I do not leisurely go to the deck hockey rink and suit it up against each other. No.
No, but you do play pickup basketball.
I do, yeah. I'm playing tomorrow night. You
but just
come?
Not pickup deck hockey. Isn't that a thing? Do people go play hockey?
Oh, yeah, there is. I have a lot
so
of friends
why is that
play
so crazy?
Deck hockey. It's not.
Oh.
Do you want to come play basketball with us tomorrow?
No.
Okay.
Coming up next, Nick from Penn Lodge.
Just thought I'd ask.
Where are you playing? Are you playing with the Mongoose?
No, I'm not playing with the Mongoose. I'm playing with some of my grade school and high school buddies.
Really? Are they all the exact same age?
For the most part, yeah.
Since you don't play pickup games with anybody older than you?
I have before, but I invited you to go.
You could
bring the
go.
Age up a little bit.
Jeez, the Crowley question. down with impunity there. That was unbelievable. I thought maybe when you were 20 or something that you and Crowley, if you play pickup hockey, may have played a game together.
No, I didn't know Crowley until I started working here, and he started working here when I was producing over on the AM side.
Yeah. How's it gone with Crowley, you guys friends? Do you think you ever will play pickup hockey together?
I invited Crowley to our tailgate on Monday night, the big Definitely You tailgate that I go to, my buddy Bruce, and Crowley made fun of me for saying that I might show up to the tailgate at 6 o'clock because that's 2 hours before the game and I need to be there a lot earlier. And Crowley basically said that I need to be in spending the whole entire day enjoying it so that the next 2 days of, at work for me are basically a living hell because I had so much fun at the tailgate.
I actually agree with Crowley there.